जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी 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 गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन जामुना तीर वनचारी जामुना तीर वनचारी जमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 9, Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, Text 66.
Vikshodha Vayasantam Cha Prakritinam Cha Sammatam Anurakta Prajam Raja Dhruvam chakre bhuvapatim vikshodavayasam tam cha prakritinam cha sammatam anurakta prajam raja dhruvam chakre bhuvapatim vikshodavayasam tam cha prakriti nam cha sammatam anurakta prajam raja dhruvam chakre bhuvapatim viksha. After seeing udhavayasam, mature in age, tam dhruva cha and prakritinam by the ministers cha also sammatam approved of anurakta beloved prajam by his subjects raja the king Dhruva Maharaj. Chakre. Made. Bhuva. Of the earth. Patim. Master.
Translation. Text 66. When after concentration, King Uttanapada saw that Dhruva Maharaj was suitably mature to take charge of the kingdom, and that his ministers were agreeable, and the citizens were also very fond of him, he enthroned Dhruva as emperor of this planet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although it is misconceived that formerly the monarchical government was autocratic, from the description of this verse it appears that not only was King Uttanapada a Rajarshi, but before installing his beloved son, Dhruva, on the throne of the empire of the world, he consulted his ministerial officers, consulted the opinion of the public, and also personally examined Dhruva's character. Then the king installed him on the throne to take charge of the affairs of the world. When a Vaishnav king like Dhruva Maharaj is the head of the government of the entire world, the world is so happy that it is not possible to imagine or describe. Even now, if people would all become Krishna conscious, the democratic government of the present day would be exactly like the kingdom of heaven. If all people became Krishna conscious, they would vote for persons of the category of Dhruva Maharaj. If the post of chief executive were occupied by such a Vaishnava, all the problems of satanic government would be solved. The youthful generation of the present day is very enthusiastic in trying to overthrow the government in different parts of the world. But unless people are Krishna conscious like Dhruva Maharaj, there will be no appreciable changes in government, because people who hanker to attain political position by hook or by crook cannot think of the welfare of the people. They are only busy to keep their position of prestige and monetary gain. They have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakantitam Cha He Krishna Kuruna Sindho Tina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi
Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Kalpataru Pyashta Kripasin Bhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vikshodha vayasantam cha prakritinam cha sammatam anurakta prajam raja dhruvam chakre bhavam pati. Vikshodha vayasam. After having seen that Dhruva Maharaj has achieved maturity, the king is passing on the kingdom to him. This is the natural system of responsibility of passing down a lineage, whether the lineage is that of a king to a prince, or in the field of work, passing down our business from father to son, or in education, the teacher teaches the student and passes on the responsibility of teaching to the student in the future. In any case, after suitable maturity, a student may become the representative of his teacher. A prince may be the representative of his father, or the son may be the representative of his father in the business. The qualification is that there's no change in the the purpose of the father. This is how the son is the representative of the father. But to the extent that the son may change what the father was teaching, he is divorcing himself from the mission of his father and disinheriting himself from the father's property, his power, his authority, his fame, and so on. All of the good qualities of the father rely on fidelity of the son to be transferred to the son. And this applies in the modern day, not just father and son, but any teacher and student, regardless of gender. The system holds that you have to maintain the lessons you've learned exactly as they were taught. This is especially true in Krishna consciousness. Right, like a doctor, he cannot change the method that he learned from his textbook. There's only the heart cannot be placed where the liver is, or a cook cannot decide to put sugar where salt is supposed to go. So in the same way, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we've been given instructions by Srila Prabhupada that we have to follow without changing. This is actually the words of Krishna. Evam parampara praptam. Imam Rajarshayo Vidhu. Krishna presented Bhagavad Gita to the Rajarshi Vivaswan. Vivaswan passed it down to his son, Manu. Manu passed it down to his son, Ikshvaku. But it's the same Bhagavad Gita. that Krishna again revived and spoke to Arjuna, because in the course of time, it appeared to be lost. This is the power of the time factor, that it destroys our best efforts at maintaining the fidelity of knowledge. Because in this material world, time acts as the agent of ignorance, of destruction, decay, and destruction not just of gross things like buildings and our bodies, but of the subtle qualities like knowledge, truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, mercy. In course of time, these degrade in this world. And according to a schedule, Krishna comes to revive those qualities and start things afresh in Satya Yuga, which is the time when this pastime is going on. So we see a great amount of opulence here. We see happy citizens. Prabhupada writes that they are happier than can be described or imagined. So when we identify ourselves as products of the material nature, that is called false ego. And the material nature is characterized by time. So if I'm identifying myself with time, then I'm not internal. And I have to suffer the same degradation that time brings, as if time is going to cause that degradation to me, the soul. It's that this is ignorance. To think that time is going to destroy me, and therefore I'm afraid, and I have to try to enjoy now by contact of senses with sense objects before it's too late and everything is gone. Charvaka Muni sums this philosophy up. He says, when the material body is finished, everything is finished, so therefore, somehow or other, eat me. And that's roughly the philosophy that's popular now, if you can call it a philosophy. It's kind of an abuse of the word philosophy, actually. If we look at philosophy in the classical sense, it means love of wisdom. There's not so much wisdom to be found in the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. Sometimes it's panned out like philosophy. It's touted to be a philosophy. They call it materialism. They say it's a philosophy. But it does not address the key issues that define a philosophy. What is the nature of reality? How do we acquire knowledge? So ontology, epistemology, are not properly addressed by materialism. And therefore it's a insufficient philosophy, but the Krishna consciousness movement is based on solid philosophy. Fortunately, the Bhagavatam does address issues of reality, of how to acquire knowledge. And in fact, the Bhagavatam opens up layers of philosophy which were hitherto unaware, unknown to many people from the Western tradition. Because we're not familiar with karma. We're not familiar with the answer to the question of theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? That can be answered in Vedic culture pretty easily. Theodicy. Why do bad... theodicy means justifying the ways of God to man. Theo, God, disi, like Judish. Disi somehow means judgment. So putting God on trial, this is theodicy. If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving, why do bad things happen to good people? And this problem has exercised Western culture for more than 2,000 years, but Vedic understanding doesn't have this kind of hang-up with the point because of the understanding of
not just the everlasting quality of the soul, but the eternal quality of the soul. Everlasting means that it was created at a point and exists henceforward, but eternal means that it was never created. Ajo nicha shashvatam yung parano nahanyate hanyamani shirire. How's that? Do you know how that verse starts? Okay. Krishna says that for the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He is not created. He has not come into being. He is not coming into being, and he will not come into being. He is unborn, ever existing, eternal and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. We are co-eternal with God. Mamaivamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are eternally the part and parcel of Krishna. We're actually parts of Krishna. So therefore, we've had a life before this life. Ultimately, we had a life in the spiritual world before we even came to this world. Now this opens up new questions also, as any good philosophy will. Yes, it answers the question of theodicy by introducing karma reincarnation. That's why, for example, a baby may be born with cancer or something. Or the example Prabhupada gives, one man is born rich, one man is born poor. This explains it. But it does raise other questions which are not so often raised in a culture that does not understand karma reincarnation. And so it's good exercise for our intelligence to ask these questions, such as, why did the soul leave the spiritual world if it was already perfectly happy there? So these kinds of questions are sometimes hot topics for the devotees. There, of course, acharyas have given replies to understand these points. And by delving into the deep mine of the wisdom of our acharyas, digging into that wisdom according to the boundaries given by Prabhupada, not crossing his line, we can enrich our intelligence. We can in that way keep our mind engaged in devotional service. There's the physical aspect, gross physical aspect of our Krishna consciousness. We have our daily schedule. We follow, someone is in the temple, he's following that schedule. Someone is working, he's following that schedule. And then there's our subtle mind, the way it's being engaged in devotional service, which is perhaps the most important part of our sadhana, is how we are engaging our mind. Savai mana Krishna padarvindayo. If we can somehow or other put our mind at the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he'll never reject us. Because an honorable person never rejects a surrendered soul. If we can surrender to Krishna, he will accept us. Sarva dharma prityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Even with all our sinful reactions, he will accept us. That's his promise. It's not something that we could ever expect. This is causeless mercy. It's not fair. But it's better than fair. We've actually offended Krishna. And yet he's waiting for us just to come back to Godhead. And the position here on earth of a king is that he has to be the representative of God. If there's ever a person in the kingdom who's unhappy, all they're supposed to have to do is appeal to the king, and he is there to address their concern, because this person has surrendered to the king. He's accepted the king's authority. He's a Sharanagata. And so the king is obliged to reciprocate with that surrender by offering him all protection and all facilities of material welfare, spiritual welfare, both. Actually, all you have to say is spiritual welfare, because it includes material welfare. If you're not providing, if the war did not provide our material welfare, it wouldn't be spiritual welfare either. It'd be incomplete. That's why. Vidya sampanne. You have to understand both knowledge and nescience side by side in order to gain the full blessings of immortality. Why? Why do we? How can we say? Someone may take the objection. How can you say that matter is part of spirit? How can you blaspheme spirit by assigning to spirit the qualities of matter, which are ignorance, temporality, and illusion? The Mayavadis make this argument, and the Christians make this argument sometimes. Just now in Russia, the Orthodox Church was making this argument, saying that your philosophy says that evil comes from God. How dare you? They took objection to janmadyasyayata, that everything comes from the absolute truth, because they want to assign it to a devil who is an independent agent, somehow beyond the control of God. But that strips God of his omnipotence, and it raises the issue of theodicy. It means that God's not all-powerful. And if he's not all-powerful, he's not God. So they're trying to... When
it's not like he's not all-powerful. It is all-powerful, but they cannot accept the idea that God can generate something which causes people to suffer. That he can be part of the people's suffering. That they want to exclude him. They don't want to see everything in relationship with the Lord. And that's why they want to put some other personality in there.
Yeah, I see why you say that, but actually that's my point. I'm saying that that means he's not all powerful, because that would mean something came into existence without him. There was another power which caused that, and so that means he's not all powerful. In order for something to be generated, there's power. There's a powerhouse, there's energy, and the energetic source. There cannot be anything that exists without God. That's the meaning of janmadyasyayata. That from whom nothing is different. That's part of his omnipotence, that everything comes from him. There can't, if something else came without him, that would mean there's a separate source, a separate energetic source, a separate power. A power that God does not possess. Not all-powerful. So that's why they have this issue with theodicy. How can he be all-powerful and there be evil? Because they don't want to accept that free will is there. That's another issue, but why we came to this point was that I was comparing the Christians' position to the same position that the Mayavadis take, that God cannot. The objection is being raised. Why do you say that matter is part of spirit? That is definitely our philosophy, that life comes from life and matter comes from life. They want to see it as a entirely distinct duality, which is surprising because they call themselves monists. They call themselves Kevaladvaitavadis. That everything is only one. There's only Brahman, except there's also Maya. And they can't account for how there is Maya if there's only Brahman. Because that would be to say that Brahman comes under illusion. A portion of Brahman comes under illusion. First, you've divided Brahman into portions, and second, you've said one of them comes under illusion. Therefore, Prabhupada sometimes says, we're the real monists. They say there's Maya and Brahman. We say there's just Krishna. I just came across a comprehensive analysis of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedanta Sutra, which was written by one of Prabhupada's disciples. They go over the entire Vedanta Sutra, each verse, and line it up with appropriate verses from Bhagavatam and show how Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Suhotra Swami Maharaj. Yeah. I just emailed it to our Columbus community. I'll forward it to you. You're not there on that yet, that list yet. But it's quite comprehensive. It's based on Baladeva Vidyabhushana's Govinda Bhashya, which is what Prabhupada writes in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada dedicates Bhagavad Gita to Baladeva Vidyabhushana for his wonderful Govinda Bhashya commentary, which historically is what made Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy recognized as an authentic Vaishnava tradition according to certain other Vaishnava traditions. So it was important. Historically, also. Okay. Other points in this verse. Youthful generation of present day are very enthusiastic in trying to overthrow the government in different parts of the world. That sounded so relevant. I was just thinking of Libya and Egypt and how they're trying to do this business. At first, I was a little, because I've got a materialistic mind, I was thinking, oh no, this is going to be a dated statement. I didn't complete the sentence, though. It said, the youthful generation of the present day is very enthusiastic in trying to overthrow the government. As soon as I heard that, I was thinking, oh no, that statement only applies to the 60s, because now in America, no one cares about the government. Everyone just watches TV.
No.
Occupy?
Yeah.
It's a joke. They're not serious. They're just hanging out. Yeah, they're just having fun. They're playing drums and learning how to do human microphone. That's enough. They're lighthearted, friendly people, and favorable for Krishna consciousness, but they're not trying to overthrow the government. We like them very much. But when Prabhupada then completed the sentence, in different parts of the world, oh, okay, now it makes very much sense, actually. It's very relevant. One day I hope that my mind will just stop offering these objections to Prabhupada's statement and take shelter. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Why? Because the government is trying to cheat people. It's actually not a real government because they're just rogues who are trying to get the most money for themselves. I was speaking yesterday with a dear friend of mine who is trying to get a job, and he was looking into a government job. He almost got a government job and found that they had some amazing benefits in the government job. 4 months vacation. No questions asked. They're not, but you get enough money that you can you can save up for your own vacation, you're not going to be in want. You're not going to be in want. So he was trying to get in there because the government job is a very nice job. But it would be great for him to get it because he's a devotee. But unfortunately, they set the system up that way so that a few people can get rich at the expense of everybody else. All the tax money is going into this. Whereas we have roads with potholes and stuff. It's irresponsible. It's not really good government. There's so many problems. Now, at the same time, it's also right to say that from my position here in the temple, I shouldn't criticize because the government has more responsibility than me, and they're doing a better job than I could do. So I should take the humble position also. But the point that Prabhupada is making, from his position as Acharya, is that these people are rogues. They're cheating the government. They need to come to the standard of Dhruva Maharaj. Okay. What is the nature of good government? They think of the welfare of the citizens. Good government means he's a devotee. Devotees are always thinking of the welfare of every living entity because that's what Krishna is doing. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam. He is the best friend of every living entity. The devotee takes on that quality also. When you're flying in an airplane, the airplane is going 600 miles an hour, and you are also going 600 miles an hour. So the devotee takes on the qualities of Krishna. He's the best friend of every living entity, the devotee is also. But that doesn't mean, our acharyas explained, that doesn't mean that the devotee also becomes both the Ram and Yagatapasam and Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. That we don't get to become the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities and the supreme ruler of all planets and demigods. We have to follow the acharyas to understand which qualities we inherit from Krishna and which are favorable for our devotional service and which ones are unfavorable. Sometimes Krishna will offer us things that are unfavorable for our devotional service just to see if we will accept them as a test. This is generally reserved for more advanced Vaishnavas, that Krishna will personally intervene in their life and offer them such things. If Krishna tests a neophyte devotee like me, though, it's obvious that I will fail, so he doesn't even bother testing. He just lets me go through the anarthanivritti process. That's enough of a test for me. But with someone like Prahlad Maharaj, Nrsingadev was offering any benediction. Right? Krishna would never ask me if I want any benediction, because he knows I would ask for pizza or sleep. Or both. Hare Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj asks only that his father be liberated. It's the heart of a devotee. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. He sees every living entity as in the universe as his family. Bija Pratapita. Krishna is everyone's father. And Krishna Mata Krishna Pita. Krishna Dana Pran. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is the very treasure of your life. There's another Bengali one for you. Okay. So we're chanting the holy names to revive our relationship with Krishna, Sambandha. And the means to revive that relationship is the chanting of the holy names. The chanting of the holy names is the sambandha also. It is the relationship. It's the means to achieve the relationship. And prayojana, it's the goal of the relationship. To continue chanting Hare Krishna. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are all in the Hare Krishna mantra. That's what our movement is based on. It's called Hare Krishna movement, because we chant Hare Krishna. And we're happy. We want others to be happy also. Thank you very much. Would you like to help by asking some questions or comments?
You didn't speak more about this issue when you started by saying that you started by saying that this knowledge is given.
The kings.
It is very important not to change it. But, you know, we can see well, you know, that there is two approaches. There are two approaches, you know, like some devotees are saying that we need to adjust the timeline and circumstances.
I think all devotees are saying that.
Yeah, well, that's true, but the way how you
adjust,
you know, sometimes brings some controversies or some kind of disagreement.
Yes.
And because on one side, there is a group of devotees who will say, well, no, Prabhupada gave everything that is necessary, just follow. And, you know, don't take anything out, don't put anything in. But other group is, you know, can see that the 70s and 9, you know, present years, they are quite different. And people's mentality is changing. So that's why, you know, they make different adjustments. And they say, you know, they argue that what Prabhupada will be today, he will make those adjustments.
And why do they say that? Because Prabhupada talks about adjusting things according to time, place, and circumstance.
Yeah.
So if someone's saying that we're only going to follow what Prabhupada said time, place, and circumstance.
Okay, but the question is...
You can't take that out either.
No, of course. The question is of the degree.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the key point, and I would like to hear your take on that.
Karma and jnana are like frames for a picture. We have these nice artworks up here on the wall, and they've got a frame. Karma and jnana are the frames. There's one. Let's say this is a karma frame. That's a jnana frame. But the picture is bhakti. The frame may change. The rituals are karma. The rituals can change. The clothes can change. The jnana can change. And this one is sometimes controversial. The jnana can change. The ideology can change. But the bhakti can never change. Who can change the karma? Who can change the jnana? That's the acharya. We are simply following their instructions. If, when in doubt, ask the acharya. So, for example, some examples of this. Prabhupada would sometimes say that it's okay to distribute books in suit and tie. Of course, we don't see so much of that nowadays. People are very eager to put on jeans with a big hole in the knee so they look like a drugged out hippie. But it works to distribute so many books. Nice. And especially in Europe, I see they're dressing very nicely. I just saw on Shivaram Maharaj's site someone was distributing books, and he looked like a kind of... He had these like nice khaki jeans. Not jeans, khaki pants. cargo pants, I think you call them, a very clean sweater, a matching khaki side messenger bag, a very stylish hat. He looked very good, like a college student, you know, and he was distributing books, and he looked very nice. But Prabhupada said suit and tie also on a couple of occasions. You should look like a gentleman, though. He specifically said you should look like a gentleman also. So that's an adjustment of karma that Prabhupada gave. Karma is our activities. It includes our dress. It includes our rituals. Then, so another example of karma. In one temple, someone may have a certain situation where they don't have very many devotees in the temple. And so they would not put Radha Krishna deities in, but they would put Gornitai deities in so that the worship could be simplified. Prabhupada was having us chant 16 rounds. That's a huge adjustment of karma instead of 64. We can't change that. Can I go into Gyana first before we switch sides? Maybe I'm being unfair. Maybe you should get to go first. But I wanted to. No. I just don't want to forget. Because I have further points.
It does better for me. You know,
you'll remember.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I get easily sidetracked. Okay, changes in Gyana. The first one that comes to mind is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually. He wrote this Sri Krishna Samhita. Have you ever heard of this book? Krishna Samhita? Okay, he presents the Bhagavatam philosophy according to Christian dating systems of time. And that is a massive change in Jnana. Acharya can do it. We cannot. And we can follow the Acharyas, Mahajanuya and Gatasapanta, but we have to be able to justify it by their statements, their instructions. That they want us to do it, first of all. We can't imitate. Imitating, there's the difference between imitation and following should be understood. Almost everyone knows how to say you can follow but not imitate. But sometimes I think that people don't know the difference, even though they say that. So following means you've been giving an instruction and you follow it. Do what I say and not what I do is the essence. You can do anything that the spiritual master tells you to do. You must do what he tells you to do. But you can't necessarily do everything that he does. There are some things he does that he doesn't want you to do. Okay, that's enough from me. Go ahead, please.
Okay. So, how do you relate to the examples? Like, for example, you know, the changes, like, for example, someone is saying that we should offer kilams.
I never heard of that. It doesn't happen here. Yeah, I don't know. I can't comment on something I don't know about.
I see. Well, if I tell you...
Oh, what is it? So please explain it again. Actually, I'm not clear. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't understand.
What they do that, you know, like the dealer from the Arati comes from the altar in order to drop up and refers to the main congregation, maybe to female. So in some temples they switch. Then they first offer to female, either they offer to male.
What did Prabhupada have us do?
Definitely Prabhupada didn't do that.
What did he have us do?
To offer to them to the first to male.
He didn't say first to the senior people and then the juniors?
Maybe that's what
that's the way I understood it. First, the senior person. If that's a Mataji, it's a Mataji. If it's a male, it's a male. But it should go to the senior person first. We're not our body. I think that's the principle Prabhupada was operating on.
Okay. As much as I learned, you know, from being in all the temples, even if there is some senior Mataji, you still go to the Prabhupada. Finish Prabhupada later, go to the
some non-devotee will get it before a Prabhupada disciple Madhiji? I've not seen that. And I didn't get that impression. I thought that Prabhupada had us cultured so that we would offer to the senior person first. But it's something I can do some research on if you like.
Okay, that's one example. Another example would be that someone, for example, is adjusting their amount of rounds for first initiation.
Yeah.
And this is one other thing that you preach about, this is a big controversy between Bhakti Kash Maharaj and
the spiritual warrior books, yeah. I understand the question.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to reply. So the question is, it's about on those two examples, those are things that basically make you an acharya of your own sampradaya. Or not sampradaya exactly, but your own branch of the sampradaya. And so the person who's, for example, giving someone fewer number of rounds is not ISKCON. And Prabhupada sometimes said like that, if you're not willing to follow our rules, you can practice Krishna consciousness outside of ISKCON, but not within the walls of ISKCON. I've read that in a letter to a specific person. I know who it is, but I don't want to really mention his name in the class for respect. So Prabhupada encouraged, you follow the rules, stay in ISKCON. If not, you can be independent outside of ISKCON. And even in the case, if I understand correctly, I could be wrong here, but if I understand right, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also was operating outside of ISKCON for a while. And Radhanath Maharaj also, because of their relationship with Tirthananda Maharaj. He left and they came. Then they came back. They both came back and brought with them their whole congregation that they, by their purity, that they were able to bring about. Chaupati, for example, came back into ISKCON in the 80s, or the late 80s, early 90s. It was one of Kirtananda Maharaj's temples. And same with a lot of the African temples were all Kirtananda Maharaj temples. Our Govinda Prabhu from Ghana knew Kirtananda Maharaj very well because that's he was the leader in the 80s in Africa. So those kinds of examples may have some kind of relevance to that particular situation also. Thank you. But the essence is you follow your acharya. Christians should follow Christ, Muslims should follow Muhammad, and we should follow Prabhupada. Yeah.
So how can we, it didn't happen yet. I don't know if it's completely rejected.
It was unanimously rejected,
yeah,
by BBT trustees.
Yeah, so we can see that, more and more situations like this will start coming because of time, because that's the nature of Kali Yuga. We can see every spiritual path gets deteriorated the course of time. And I believe that, with ISKCON won't be, saved from that. We have all also those influences. That's why, you know, I'm trying to understand, because, well, let's say 30, 40 years from now, if it is a long, you know, maybe we'll be in the position that we'll need to make decisions about some new adjustments or something like that.
Yeah. So what is the qualification become an acharya? We have to be pure if we're going to make those decisions. That's the worst case scenario. We have to be prepared for those kinds of objections, those kinds of challenges to come our way. On the other side, though, if we're not going to look at the worst case scenario, set it aside for a second, we can look at the fact that there's a golden age of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within Kali Yuga, which takes on the characteristics of Satya Yuga. And so that is where it becomes super favorable for practicing Krishna consciousness. When we go into these new sandhyas, there's always some turmoil. But then things level out. And they can progress smoothly. Like when you boil the milk, it raises up first. And then it settles down and becomes thicker and sweeter and sweeter. We're boiling the milk here. So that's another perspective. But I like the point to be prepared. I don't know if this is Prabhupada or not, but I think I heard it from Prabhupada, that you have to live your day as if you live your life as if you will live for 100 years, and at the same time as if you will live only for one day. That's nice. That almost sounds like Chanakya Pandit. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.